Welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions, produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust. This is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello and welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions. Today I'm talking with David Woolcock. David has been concerned about wildlife since he was a child, and this concern led him in 1989 to help found the World Parrot Trust, where he remains a trustee. David also serves as the curator of the UK's Paradise Park, the home of the World Parrot Trust, and has been responsible for overseeing the care and well-being of the animals at the park, as well as being a professional member of IAATE, the International Association of Avian Trainers and Educators. David also heads up the flight school located at Paradise Park, which offers expert training and consultation on everything from behaviour interpretation, modification and enrichment to all aspects of avian husbandry. Parrots are highly intelligent and social creatures that require a variety of daily activities to keep them entertained, engaged and challenged. David joins us in this podcast to help us better understand just what environmental enrichment looks like and to share some strategies on how we can provide our parrots with a much more enjoyable world in which to live. David, thank you very much for joining me on the Parrot Care Sessions today.
It's a pleasure, Charlie. Delighted.
So, David, just to put this podcast into context, how would you define environmental enrichment?
Well, the clue's in the name, really. Enriching the environment is not that difficult. But I think what you need to remember is the environment that the birds come from in the wild. And I know that, you know, many people say, well, my bird's never been in the wild. Well, that's true. But they are still a wild species. They're not domesticated at all. And, you know, when you think about birds in the wild interacting with other members of their flock, foraging, looking for nests, avoiding predators, you know, you need to think that's something which they're designed to do. And if we can give them the ability to stretch the behaviours that they demonstrate in captivity to mimic those they use in the wild, then that's great. It's going to be much more interesting for them.
And in general terms, David, can you briefly explain how that benefits the parrot?
It's really stimulating its senses, I suppose, is the best way to put it. If you think about it from the point of view of the homes we live in, for example, maybe we spend in our homes 80% of our time in either the sort of living room or the bedroom, and 5-10% of the time in the bathroom or the kitchen. But imagine what your house would be and how it would function if you didn't have a bathroom or a kitchen. You don't use them very often, but you do need them.
That's still important.
And it's the same for a bird, really. If in the aviary you can give it a nice perch to sit upon where it can get the rays of the sun in the early morning, it's going to use it. It might only use it for half an hour, but it's going to really enjoy that half hour. And at the same time, if you can give the bird somewhere a nice vantage point where it can see the world around it from a nice high point, then it's going to have lots more stimulation of activity going on around it than just sitting in a dark, dull corner with nothing to look at but four walls.
You split environmental enrichment to five different areas, David.
Yes, the five areas are social, occupational, physical, sensory, and nutritional. Now, social enrichment is really sort of direct contact with people, you, your family, friends, interaction with other birds, and even other pets in your home. You know, we've all got parrots or heard stories of parrots that tell the dog to sit down and come here. And you think, well, that's just what I'm saying. But actually, what it's really doing is it's realised that we can control another animal. And we all like to have control in our lives. And if you can control something else as well, it makes it great fun for the parrots because it can tell the dog to sit down when it gets a bit bored of doing what it's doing. So social enrichment is really interacting with other creatures, if you like. But it can be non-contact as well, things like leaving a radio on or playing a DVD which has birds featured on the DVD. It's all social interaction, which, you know, human race, you know, we enjoy social interaction, and parrots certainly do as well. They're very social creatures.
They certainly are. I mean, in the wild, many species typically move around in large flocks.
That's right. Obviously, during the breeding season, they tend to hang around in pairs, but even then, they've got a nice close bond with another individual. That's something which we should try to give them the opportunity to explore in captivity as well.
So that's the first form of enrichment, David. What's occupational enrichment?
occupation enrichment really is more to do with stretching the mind or the body of the animal. Give it challenges to overcome. The wild situation is full of challenges every single day of that bird's life. And, you know, challenges make us stronger. They make us more robust to dealing with novel situations and less liable to be stressed if something suddenly doesn't go the way we expect it to go. So hide your bird's food in the environment. So it has to make a decision as to how to find it. You can give it more room to fly, more areas to explore and to climb around. And just think about more ways that you can give your bird things to do.
Right.
If you're thinking about people, you don't want to be a couch potato. You want to be someone that gets up and does things, you know, and that's exactly what your bird needs to do as well.
And that leads into physical enrichment, because I think I'm right in saying that what you mean by that is enriching the physical environment that surrounds the bird.
Yes, it is. And when we talk about physical enrichment, we don't mean physical as in the physical bird itself, but the actual physical environment in which it's living in. Make it nice and complex. Give the bird as much room as you can, a stimulating environment. If your bird's in a cage, for example, you could increase the physical enrichment by putting things on top of the cage. You know, maybe a whole piece of fruit that the bird has to pull it through, or something which it wants to play with. You can put a toy on the outside. You can do all sorts of things just to increase the environment, the physical environment of a bird within a cage by increasing the things it can interact with on the outside of the cage, providing, of course, like all the enrichment, that it's safe.
Right.
But as much complexity in the environment as possible, give the bird challenges again. And then we're sort of thinking about sensory enrichment, which, you know, as it suggests, is a way to stimulate all the senses, you know, whether it's auditory, visual, olfactory, tactile, or taste. Now, you often hear people say, oh, well, my bird doesn't like being sprayed and doesn't bathe very often. But I bet if you said to that person, well, you know, if the bird can hear the rain outside, or maybe sometimes when the washing machine or the vacuum cleaner's on, it sort of creates a sort of white noise rather like the rain, often that triggers the bird into bathing, which is just what happens in the wild. You know, it hears the storm coming, the rain through the leaves, and that sort of triggers this bathing reaction. Turn the washing machine on, start hoovering, and if you look at your bird, quite often the feathers start to sort of fluff, almost getting into rain bathing mode. And that's when, if you introduce a spray, you'll probably find the bird absolutely loves it. It's a bit like setting mood music, if you like.
Right, and, right.
You know, it's setting the scene for the behaviours you want to see develop. And just as in the wild, you know, that's a sort of precursor to bathing, then there's no reason why it shouldn't be in captivity as well. Birds like to preen each other. If you have a parrot that's by itself, then you know, you get a nice sort of preen toy, like a rag toy or something, which the bird can preen as it would preen a partner in the wild. That's very important as well, because these birds are very sociable and they're very tactile. And you often find if you have a pet parrot, they sort of start preening your hair or your eyebrows and things like that. And that's their way of preening you. And in response to what they'd like is for you to preen them, especially the sort of areas around the back of their head and neck where they can't sort of reach with their beak. And if you have a bird that's growing feather quills, and if you sort of preen those quills out when the time is right, that really reinforces the bond that you have with your parrot. That, again, is a form of sensory enrichment.
I guess what I'm learning here, David, is that to some extent these elements of enrichment overlap with each other, because the sensory enrichment of touch you just described there would also be part of the social enrichment of your bird's life.
Yes, there are so many areas of enrichment which link with others. And that's the way life is. You know, we don't live in a bubble. And there's often areas of enrichment which cover several of these sort of five areas. And sometimes you can almost cover all of them, but that's unusual. But it can happen.
Sure, sure. You mentioned just then, David, that there are five areas of enrichment. We've looked at social, occupational, physical and sensory. That leaves just one more, nutritional.
And that's really the food the bird is getting, but not just the type of food, but the way it's offered to them. You know, instead of giving the bird a bowl of seed and fruit once a day or whatever your bird's diet happens to be, try feeding it several times a day with different items at different times of the day. Try hiding the treats or the food in certain ways. You could maybe put it into a clean egg carton, for example, so the bird has to open the carton up to find the food. And just remember that in the wild, the bird's food doesn't come in a bowl. It has to work hard for it. It spends most of its time foraging.
Yeah.
And that's a real big part of most birds' lives, particularly birds like cockatoos. And you often find that these birds in captivity have lots of time and energy on their hands because their food is there. They've had their fill of food. And now what do they do? Well, if you can make the finding of that food part of their enrichment, part of their daily life, then they've got extra stimulation from the outset, really.
Right. And I noticed, David, you're talking about putting fruit on top of the cage or using items like egg cartons and rag toys. to provide environmental enrichment doesn't have to be expensive, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't have to be. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. There are lots of toys on the market out there which are fantastic for your pet parrot, but some of them cost literally an arm and a leg. And that often puts people off providing enrichment for their birds. But we just need to be very creative. I mean, there are all sorts of amazing enrichment ideas you can use that cost you absolutely nothing or all pennies. We were talking about nutrition just now, and if you think about presenting the food in a different way, why not get something like the inside of a kitchen roll? You could get a little bit of tissue paper, wrap a treat up in the tissue paper, pop it inside the tube, put tissue in both ends of the tube, so the bird then has the tube and has to work away to get the treat out from the middle. Now, obviously, some birds will just look at this tube and think, What do I do here?
Yes.
So you have to be prepared, certainly in the early stages, especially if your bird's never had much enrichment experience as a pet, to help the bird out. So, you know, get your cardboard tube and just literally put a treat inside it so the bird can see it. And then, you know, the bird will have a look at it. Oh, I can get that. Just takes the treat out. Then push it a little bit further in so the bird's got to sort of, you know, manipulate the tube to tip the treat out. Then put a little bit of tissue in there so the bird can only get it out of one end. All the time, you're training the bird to use this enrichment, if you like. And eventually what will happen is that the bird will look at the tube and think, okay, if I pull that bit of tissue out, I can get my treat. And then when you start to do that, you can really get quite clever. You can start using different colours bits of tissue. So you could put the treat in one end, and maybe it's very close to the end where there's green tissue and very far away from the end where there's red tissue. You know, will the bird realise that the green tissue gets it quicker than the red? And it should be great fun for you as well.
This is enrichment for the caregiver too.
Yeah, enrichment should be, you know, making both of your lives happier. Your bird's going to have much more stimulation, and you're going to have the interaction with the bird and think, yeah, you know, my bird's actually really quite smart, and I can increase how smart the bird is and what it's doing. And it makes you think as well. So you're getting ideas yourself.
Yeah.
And there are so many things you can do like that. And, you know, cheap enrichment, you don't have to buy, you know, fancy parrot toys.
Sure.
You can get the branches from your garden or your local park, making sure, of course, that they've not been sprayed or treated with anything in the first place. You know, just chop them into small little pieces, fill a few holes in them, put a few bits of seed or nut in them or a little bit of fruit, and the bird will spend hours, you know, chewing through the bits of wood trying to get to the treat. There are loads and loads of enrichment ideas which are incredibly cheap, and the bird will absolutely love them.
Right. Is there any material or substance we ought to avoid, David?
Well, obviously, enrichment has to be safe. Mm-hmm. So if in doubt, we always say don't use it.
Yeah.
There are lots of very good resources on the internet which tell you, for example, certain plants which are toxic, certain foods which may be toxic to parrots, you know, things like avocado and chocolate, for example, you should try and avoid. But there are certain plants you wouldn't want to use. You wouldn't want to use laburnum or yew because we know those are poisonous. But, you know, there's a surprisingly large amount of plants which you can use perfectly well. There are lots of plants growing in your garden, and things like nasturtiums, for example, seeding dock, the sort of things that you'll find growing in the hedgerows and in fields. You know, they love that as well. Dandelions, chickweed, you know, the list goes on and on and on.
So plenty of choice available, but it's important to find out what your particular bird might need.
Yeah, I think, you know, you need to do a lot of research. If you have a pet parrot already, then, you know, it really is the onus is on you to do as much research as you can about that particular species in the wild. Find out what sort of area it tends to live in, what sort of trees it likes to spend time in. Does it spend a lot of time on the ground, or does it spend most of the time up in the trees? Is it a highly sociable bird, or does it tend to spend more time in pairs? What sort of foods does it like to eat? Does it eat seeding grasses on the ground, or does it like to eat fruits and things in the trees? And so you can do a lot of research online, in the books, visit local zoos and bird gardens, talk to other people that are keeping birds. You might find someone has the same sort of parrot that you've got, and they're feeding it something totally different. Well, one of the things that we often say to people when they come to us is, you know, should you try lots of fruits and vegetables? And also, you know, it doesn't like this and it doesn't like that. And they sort of have maybe four or five they've tried. Well, there's a huge array of fruits and vegetables you can try.
Sure.
And also, it varies seasonally. Often birds during the breeding season will have completely different requirements to birds outside the breeding season. They might, you know, like a lot more sort of seeding plants and seeding grasses during the breeding season, which they might not look at outside of it. But these things become available throughout the year. So make the very best use of what's locally around you, really, and just try the birds with it. If they like it, great. If they don't, well, that's fine. Move on to something else.
So once again, that's very interesting for the caregiver too. Plenty of opportunities for interaction and considered experimentation.
Yes, it is. And even if you, you know, if you're not lucky enough to have your own garden, you live in a flat or something like that, then, you know, talk to friends, relatives, go to your local parks. And, you know, quite often we speak to people and say, oh, I go to the local park and the park keeper's really helpful when they're pruning some of their trees and their shrubs. They let me have them. Well, that's great. You're actually doing them a favour that you're saving having to sort of shred them up and compost them. And birds can do it for them.
Sure.
You know, do be inventive, do be creative. And I think the thing to remember as well is that, you know, if your bird doesn't like what you're providing with it initially, well, don't give up straight away, because sometimes birds can be really frightened of new things. And you've got to bear that in mind, because in the wild, don't forget, their life can depend upon being wary of something which is unusual.
Something unusual and new, yeah.
That's right. But the more you introduce them to these novel things, then the bigger, if you like, their sort of comfort zone becomes, and the less likely they are to be nervous. But eventually they'll start to play with these things and interact with them. And especially if you've got a bird that's very friendly and you can handle very well, why not explore the enrichment with them? So, you know, if you're quite safe and happy around it, then they're much more likely to be as well.
Sure. And I'm assuming, David, that it's never too late, if I can put it that way, to provide enrichment opportunities for a bird.
It's never too late to start enrichment. The sooner the better, we always say. But, you know, if your bird has never experienced any enrichment or any novel ideas, or it's lived in a very sort of isolated environment, then do be aware that it might be very nervous when you introduce a toy, a plaything, or even a green leafy branch. But what you can do is just introduce it very gradually. If when you bring this thing into the room, the bird is completely panicked, well, just move back a little bit and place the enrichment right across the other side of the room. And then gradually move it a little bit closer, but always watch the bird's body language. The bird will tell you when it's comfortable and when it isn't. And if when the bird's body language says it's uncomfortable, just stop what you're doing and move it back a little bit. Then the bird realizes that it can control how close you bring that item. And once the bird has control in its life, it's much happier, much more relaxed. And you will see the bird allow you to bring it closer and closer, because it knows when it gets, you know, a little bit wary, you understand what it's telling you and you stop. You mustn't forget that, you know, a really great part of enrichment is training your bird, because that's going to give the social interaction with you. It's going to give you all sorts of other benefits to you and to the bird.
Absolutely. Tell me, David, if a caregiver were to try to satisfy all the five areas of enrichment we've talked about in just one day, how might they go about doing that?
Spend some time with your bird. Interact positively and sensitively with it. That's the first thing to do. Maybe present it with a challenging way to forage for its food, and also help it to succeed initially in the task, as we spoke about earlier. That, again, is all to do with your positive interaction with the bird. Provide it with a new perch or plaything. Give it the chance to bathe in a shower of gentle water. You know, maybe, you know, as we mentioned, playing a soundtrack of rain, or simply by switching on the vacuum cleaner or some other sort of white noise. And then maybe introduce a new food item or present its usual food in an unusual way. I think that pretty much covers the five particular areas.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. So, I mean, people might hear the phrase the five elements or areas of environmental enrichment and think, ooh, you know, that sounds a bit challenging. But in reality, it's really not hard to enrich your bird's life.
It's not at all. And just put it into the sort of human perspective. As I said, remember, you know, living in your house, all the elements are important, but maybe at different times of the day, different times of the year, and for shorter periods of time than others. But without any one of them, your life would be less enjoyable. And I think, you know, just put that into perspective with your bird as well. Give it as much as you can, make its life enjoyable. You'll have fun, it'll have fun too, and you'll increase the range of natural behaviors that bird will demonstrate to you over its lifetime.
And being a caregiver is supposed to be fun.
Absolutely. Otherwise, why would we do it?
What a wonderful place to end this podcast. David Woolcock, curator of Paradise Park, home of the World Parrot Trust, of course. Thank you very much indeed for your time today.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Charlie.
For more information on Paradise Park, visit the website at paradiseparkorg.uk. And for more information on enrichment strategies or on attending one of David's training workshops, visit the Flight School website at parrottraining.org.uk. For more information on parrots in general, please do, of course, visit the World Parrot Trust website at parrots.org. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about me, Charlie Moores, then do please visit my website, Talking Naturally, which you'll find at talking-naturally.co.uk.